Wait, listen, the Martians, they've landed.
Have no fear, it's Erev Shabbos, and the J.E. is here.
Countdown time. Only two more weeks before your Jewish Experience radio program celebrates its first anniversary. So save the date, February 3rd at 3 p.m. right here on AM 81 WEDO Radio. We'll have some fun remembering the earlier shows, some bloopers, and looking ahead to our terrible twos where we'll really be stepping out and bringing you the cutting edge in Jewish news and entertainment. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, and it's Parshas Shmos. The Jewish people have descended into the land of Egypt. They're multiplying into huge families, having kids at a rate of six at a time. You think you've seen big families? Anyway, Pharaoh starts getting real nervous in the service, so he does what every tyrant does when threatened. He enslaves his people. Some thanks to the people who saved Egypt from starving to death, but like Pirkei Avos says, be careful in your relations with the government, for they draw no man close to themselves except for their own interests. They appear as friends when it is to their advantage, but they do not stand by a man in his time of stress. So here comes Israel's first redeemer, Moses, our teacher, or Moshe Rabbeinu. He grows up in the palace of Pharaoh, kills an Egyptian who's beating a Jewish slave, escapes to Midian, marries a local girl who's very connected to the high priest, has a nice life, but then God comes to him in a burning bush and tells him to stop hanging out, get back to Egypt, get my people out of there. So Moses says, why me? And God says, hey, it's tough to find good help. So Moses heads back to Egypt and starts the long, hard process of redemption. And speaking of redeeming, you won't find a more redeeming staff who have worked hard to bring you another award-winning show. Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Ms. Devorah DeLynn, Chef Chaim Reisner, and of course, Musical Moish will be right there with you, getting you in the mood for yet another exciting Shabbat weekend. We'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio coming up in the half hour. The program today is sponsored in part by Ed Kramer of Kramer's Windows, by Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, by Next Generation Financial Services, when you need money and you don't want to pay it back, and by Artistic Photography, when you want to get it right the first time. By the way, they also sponsor the Jewish Experience Radio Program's website, jewishexperienceradio.com. Stop by for a visit and stay for a Jewish experience. Candlelighting time this week is no later than 5.06 p.m. So, Moishler, our interview with Rabbi Lapin got postponed, so it looks like another walk in the park with the Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra. Take it away, Maestro.
You mean another show just for the Maestro Mo?
Dooby-dooby-doo.
You know, there's a song called Shabbos Walk in the Park.
I know. Many times you brought that up.
One of my favorites.
I know.
Yeah, let's get on with the... Let's get on. Everything's
going to get on. Get on. Getting us through. Let's get started.
Okay, let's get started with a little music from Udi Ullman. This one's titled Eish Yischiel. I'm Moshe Pekar, and you're tuned in and good to go on the J.E.
Just hide me.
Uri Allman and Eshes Chayil, brand new out of the Holy Land. Let's move things on here. Here's MBD with Ein Oid Milvado.
אנחנו קוירים ומשתחווים ומועדים אוי 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 לפני מלך מלכי המלוכים אוי 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 הקדוש הקדוש ברוך הוא איי 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 אנחנו קוירים ומשתחווים ומועדים אנחנו קוירים ומשתחווים ומועדים אוי 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 לפני מלך Oy 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 hakodosh hakodosh koruh ay 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 ey noy gvado ey noy gvado ey noy gvado yefe zulosoy ey noy gvado ey noy gvado yefe zulosoy anakh koirim nu mishtagavim nu moydim anakh koirim nu mishtagavim nu moydim oy 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 nipnei
אנחנו קוירים ומשתחווים ומועדים אויבי מפני מלך מלכי המלוכים אוי 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 הקודות הקודו ישבור בו
That was Einod Movado with MBD. Now, if you'd like us to play your favorite selections, you could email me, Moshe Pekar, at www.musicalmoish.com, or you can email me at keyplayer@hotmail.com, and we'll play your favorite selections right here on the JE.
He really will. I mean, he told me he really will. Anyway, if you're presented with a situation where you don't think you can make a difference, well, you know what? If you go and try, Hashem will come to help. And here's Rabbi Goldwasser to tell you just how that's done.
In Parshas Shemos, the story of the birth, concealment, and rescue of the future Jewish leader unfolds. When the infant could no longer be hidden at home and was in danger of being discovered by Paro's spies, Miriam, his sister, brought him to the bank of the Nile River. She lovingly fashioned a basket of reeds and placed her brother inside it. As the basket floated gently on the river, Miriam, concealed by the tall grass, watched and waited to see what Hashem's plan would be. The messenger of rescue that Hashem chose was none other than Paro's daughter. Descending toward the river with her group of handmaidens, she noticed the strange-looking vessel floating on the river. The Torah relates that she stretched her hand out toward the basket. Miraculously, for by this time it was far beyond the bank, her arm extended and extended until she had retrieved the cradle and rescued the child within. Vatikra Shemo Moshe. She called his name Moshe, Vatomer, as she said, Ki min hamayim mishisihu, for I drew him from the water. She had transcended the laws of nature in saving a child who was far from her grasp. The obvious question is, if the basket was obvious well beyond her reach, what did she hope to gain by extending her hand toward it? She could not have known that a miracle would happen. Why would she have attempted something so obviously futile? The answer is that she felt the immediate, overwhelming importance of the rescue before her. She did not make any kind of calculation. She extended her hand toward the child because that was what needed to be done. Nothing, not even logic, could discourage her, and Hashem helped her complete the task she had set out to perform. The lesson for us is obvious. When we are enthusiastic and full of the desire to fulfill a mitzvah, Hashem helps us overcome seemingly insurmountable obstacles.
Certainly say amen to that. Thank you, Rabbi. I don't have to tell you, utility rates are expected to rise this winter, and it's not too late to save money by reducing your utility bills by installing new energy-saving windows. Call Kramer Windows, your neighborhood window contractor, with many business and residential references in the Jewish community. I've known Ed for many years, and the people that have benefited by his windows rave about the money they save due to the high cost of energy today and the great service Ed provides. Ed Kramer says, do a room or do the whole house. You'll be pleasantly surprised at the impact new energy-saving windows will make on your utility bills. And guess what? He offers free estimates. He says, our low overhead means the best prices anywhere. Call Ed today at 412-848-2262 to schedule a visit. That's 412-848-2262. Do it today before your next utility bill makes you wish you did it today. That's 412-848-2262. Ed Kramer, Kramer Windows. By the way, if you're over 62 and you own your own home, find out how you can get money from your home without having to ever pay it back as long as you live in that home. Call 412-562-2220. Get tax-free money now by calling 412-562-2220 to participate in a government-sponsored home equity conversion. First Mariner Bank, an equal opportunity lender. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort, and did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. And now, back to the music with Moshe Papaw.
Yeah.
Was V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha by the Yeshiva Boys Choir. Love your fellow man as yourself.
Continuing with his historical account of the Dreyfus Affair, here's the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
The Dreyfus Affair, Part 2. At 9 o'clock a.m., Dreyfus was marched into the courtyard of the French War College to begin his 10-minute ordeal. Thousands of soldiers and reporters crowded the college, while a crowd of 20,000 gathered outside. There was complete silence as the commanding officer approached Dreyfus. In a voice charged with emotion, the officer proclaimed the terrible sentence, "Dreyfus, you are unworthy of bearing arms. In the name of the people of France, we degrade you." A sergeant tore Dreyfus's medals, buttons, stripes, and epaulettes from his uniform, then broke Dreyfus's sword on the sergeant's own knee. As Dreyfus was marched around the courtyard in his tattered uniform, he shouted for all to hear, "I am innocent! Long live France! Long live the army!" The crowd and the assembled officers alike responded, "Death to the Jew! Death to the traitor!" Dreyfus was sent to the penal colony of Devil's Island off the coast of South America, then placed in solitary confinement where he remained for more than 4 years. Meanwhile, in France, the sorry episode did not die down. Slowly at first, then increasingly, people became convinced that Dreyfus was the victim of a cover-up. In 1898, the real spy, Count Esterhazy, was exposed and put on trial. He was acquitted by the army, which could not bring itself to admit that it had made such a horrible mistake. Shortly afterward, Emile Zola, one of France's most respected novelists, wrote his famous J'accuse, in which he accused the army and government of knowingly convicting an innocent man. Riots broke out in France between the supporters of Dreyfus, known as Dreyfusards, and his opponents, known as anti-Dreyfusards, and France teetered on the brink of civil war. In 1899, Dreyfus was brought back to France, tried a second time, and again found guilty. However, the President of France pardoned him, and Dreyfus was released from jail. In 1906, Dreyfus was declared innocent of all charges, and in a ceremony in the War College, was reinstated into the French Army with the rank of major. Dreyfus died in 1935 at the age of 76. For its part, the French Army did not admit that Dreyfus was innocent until the late 1990s.
Thanks, Rabbi Eisen. Now, from the largest independent news organization in the Middle East, here's Ernie Singer with Israel National News.
The Israeli Defense Establishment has rejected Hezbollah terrorist leader Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah's announcement this past Wednesday that Israeli Air Force navigator Ron Arad is dead. Arad disappeared after his plane was shot down over Lebanon in 1986. The Army releasing a statement that their working assumption is that Ron Arad is still alive unless concrete proof is received to the contrary. Quoting the statement, the defense establishment is working around the clock to obtain new information regarding Arad's fate in the hope of bringing him home. Referring to Israeli demands for news on Arad in return for additional exchange of Arab prisoners held by Israel, Nasrallah said, "Regretfully, if we had tangible information, we would have achieved an important deal." Lawyer for the Arad family, Eliad Shraga, slammed Nasrallah, claiming that his assumption was baseless. Quoting Shraga, "When it was expedient for him, he said he was alive. When it was expedient for him, he said he had information on Ron's whereabouts. He's the master of manipulation." Former Shin Bet General Security Services Chief Avi Dichter rejected Nasrallah's suggestion that Arad could have died in the Lebanese countryside after escaping his captors in 1999, claiming it contradicted Israeli intelligence. Israeli police on high alert in a number of places on Friday in the wake of Thursday's attempted murder by a suicide bomber which wounded 30 at Tel Aviv's Old Central bus station and the killing of an Arab described by police as a criminal in the north central Arab village of Arara. Police say Nadim Walham pulled a gun on them as they searched his house for illegal weapons. Residents of the village rioted, claiming he was rousted from his sleep by the police and shot as he tried to run away. They also claim the police even tried to recruit him as an undercover agent in the past. Police out in force to prevent violence at his funeral on Friday. Another funeral for one of two Arabs who were caught throwing firebombs at Israeli vehicles near the Jewish community of Telem, west of Hebron. Soldiers shot and killed the terrorist and found more firebombs on his body. They arrested the other terrorist. Defense Minister Shaul Mofaz has directed the security establishment to continue operations against Islamic Jihad and ticking time bomb terrorists during the coming week when Israel had planned to reduce its presence in major cities in the eastern PLO-assigned areas leading up to the PLO parliamentary elections. Mofaz pointing the finger of blame at Iran and Syria for the suicide bombing attack in Tel Aviv. According to the senior minister, the order to carry out the attack originated in the Islamic Jihad command in Damascus, funded by Iran and carried out by a Shechem-based terrorist cell. Mofaz noted that the blast occurred while Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was in Damascus, meeting with Syrian President Bashar Assad, a meeting that Mofaz termed the Terror Summit. Following the meeting, the two convened a news conference at which they issued a joint statement reiterating their support for terror originating in the PLO-assigned areas. Quoting Mofaz, "Damascus is the only place where the Iranian president is still welcomed. The Iranian-Syrian terror axis is not Israel's private problem." Israel has already given details of the intelligence behind Mofaz's statements to the United States, the European Union, and Egypt. The decision to share this information was apparently meant to provide additional ammunition to the West's campaign to refer Iran to the United Nations Security Council over Iran's nuclear program. Security forces are tentatively planning to begin evicting Jews from the Amona outpost near Ofra, north of Jerusalem, and from the Mitzpeh Shalhevet neighborhood in Hebron, south of the capital, between January 29th and January 31st. The expulsion is being delayed until the end of the month due to the PLO parliamentary elections slated for Wednesday. The Army and the Defense Ministers say extensive troop deployment is necessary to facilitate an orderly election and guard against possible Islamic Jihad terror attacks. Some of the units allocated for duty during the elections are also due to participate in the evictions. A poll says that avowed terrorist groups will win significantly more support than the ruling Fatah party in the PLO legislative elections. 41.9% of respondents said they would vote for Hamas or other terrorist groups, while the ruling Fatah faction received the backing of 35.9%. Why can't or won't the parties on Israel's right unite? For a look at this question, listen to the Tamar Yonah Show on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat Kaf Aleph for the 21st day of Tevet on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, clear to partly cloudy with rain starting in the north and spreading to the northern Negev before ending Friday night, clear to partly cloudy Shabbat, variable cloudiness and a significant jump in temperature on Sunday with light local rain in the north through Monday when temperatures will go down. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
And we wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a peaceful and restful Shabbat.
And taking a look at the Mazel Tovs this week. Mr. and Mrs. Label Cohen on the bar mitzvah of their son, Sholem Bear. You know who that is.
You mean da 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 da.
That's right. Of H&M's fame, he's going to reveal himself to the entire community and have a bar mitzvah tomorrow morning at Yeshiva, Lubavitch Center. So you want to be there.
Mazel Tov, Sholem Bear.
Okay. And Miriam Kolko on her engagement to Misha Gelman.
Mazel Tov.
And also, a couple of birthdays coming up. Rivka Rosenthal celebrates her birthday this coming Thursday. And Devorah DeLynn is now a little bit older. She had her birthday yesterday. Host of The Feminine Perspective, and you'll hear from her later.
Happy birthday to all of you.
Okay, the new mayor, a big friend of the Pittsburgh Jewish community, Bob O'Connor, will be honored at a yeshiva dinner January 24th at the Hilton Hotel. For reservations, call 412-422-7300, and you want to get them in as quick as you can because it's almost dinner time. The Mikey Butler Foundation will be sponsoring a free lecture in honor of Mikey's second Yahrzeit, Tuesday, January 31st. At the Jewish Community Center, 7 p.m., entitled Ethical Challenges of Organ Transplantation. Robert Berman will be the speaker. He's founder and director of the Halachic Organ Donor Society. The Worldwide Rap and Ben Yehuda Street Fair at Beth Shalom Synagogue, February 5th from 9 to 11. Learn to put on tefillin. 11 to 1 is the fair with food, fun, and Israeli dancing. The Judaic Library at Lubavitch Center is open to the public on Sundays, 12 to 4:30 p.m., Wednesdays 3 to 4, 7 to 8, and after Shabbos is over. It's open for 2 hours after that. You can stop in and check out a book or two and use the extensive research volumes available. Mystic's Guide to the Bible Course, 8 p.m. at the Agency for Jewish Learning, 2740 Beechwood Boulevard. You can call Akola for more information at 412-420-0220. The Alvin Weinberg Father and Son Learning Program at the Pittsburgh Kollel this Shabbos at 7:15 p.m., or actually just after Shabbos, for boys in grades 1 to 8, pizza and prizes. And they have some construction going on, so they ask that you use the rear entrance. Also, a very special high school production from the Yeshiva Girls School, Shalom Song, which is an inspiring story of hope and determination. It'll occur March 6th and 7th. Doors open at 7 p.m. For ticket information, please call 412-422-7301, extension 1311. The Meeting of Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous meets at the Aleph Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. And if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can call us at 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 5.06 p.m.
Well, for all you folks busy there in the kitchens getting ready for another Shabbos, let's slow things down with a little Tracks to Relax.
Okay, now that Uncle Moish has got you nice and relaxed with that music, be careful not to relax your guard when you speak. Here's Deborah DeLynn with an important message.
Ever since the creation of the world, at the time when Hashem gave humans the power of speech, we have been tested over and over again in our use of this wonderful gift. The power of speech sets us above the rest of the creatures of the world, and believe it or not, it is one of the most misused gifts ever created. Can one imagine the hurt, anger, and frustration on a face when a person is rudely ignored? The feeling of not being able to show your face in polite society just because someone said something bad about you? People's lives have been ruined just because of someone whispering a few sentences that make their way through the grapevine until they blossom into destruction. The Torah has a term for this language. It is called Lashon Hara, which is normally translated as gossip. There are two kinds of, quote, bad talk that the Torah tells us is forbidden. One is Lashon Hara, and the second is Mosi Shemra, which is normally translated as slander. The difference is that Lashon Hara are nasty things about a person that are true, while Mosi Shemra is lies. Our sages tell us that one who engages in either Lashon Hara or Mosi Shemra will not be able to see the divine presence when Mashiach comes as punishment for using the gift of speech in such a terrible way. Why does Hashem hate Lashon Hara so much? To answer this, we have to understand that it is human nature to enjoy being the center of attention. Why does Hashem detest Lashon Hara so much? To answer this, we have to understand that it is human nature to enjoy being the center of attention. And when do people want to listen to someone talk? When they've got something interesting to share, and when someone has a nice, juicy tidbit of information about somebody else, people will definitely be paying close attention. Hashem abhors Lashon Hara because people do not take each other's feelings into consideration, and the Jewish people lose their unique ability to have unity and peace among themselves because of this. To illustrate this point, there was once a story of a young girl who used to manage her father's store. As this was a long time ago, it was considered inappropriate for a girl to be working, especially in a public area. Soon, a malicious neighbor spread the word that this girl had questionable morality when she was really a kind, idle person. In the end, it was very difficult for her to find a match when it was time for her to get married. This girl's entire future was put into jeopardy just because someone could not control themselves. In Parshas Shemos, the first portion in the book of Shemos, the book of names, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, is growing up in Egypt when he suddenly sees an Egyptian hitting a Jewish person. Moshe checked into this man's past and future to see if there was anything that he had done that could redeem him. After finding nothing, he kills the man. Just then, the two troublemakers of Bnei Israel, Dathan and Aviram, and they tell Moshe that they are going to report him to Paro for killing an Egyptian. Here Moshe exclaims, "Achei noda hadavar, now I understand this thing." The answer to this confusing phrase can be found in a discourse by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Moshe had previously questioned why the Jews were still in Egypt. Hey, isn't it time for the redemption already? Moshe knew that in order for the Jewish people to be redeemed, they had to have achdus, unity among themselves. He thought that the time was now. However, when Dathan and Aviram told him that they were going to report him to Paro, he finally realized why they weren't redeemed. Because they had fallen prey to saying Lashon Hara. And when Jewish people speak Lashon Hara, there can be no unity among them. Thus, the Jews ended up staying in exile for 210 years until they were able to have complete unity in their suffering and cry out to Hashem together. The effects of Lashon Hara are so devastating and strong that the Jews were only able to defeat them after 210 years. Let's take it upon ourselves not to say Lashon Hara, so that it shouldn't take us 210 years to overcome this great test. And when Mashiach comes, everyone, all together, will merit to see the Divine Spirit. Have a good Shabbos.
אמונו שלימו, שהבוי ראי יתברך שמוי, כדי יעקב מעשי בני אודם וכל מחשבוי סום, שנאמר. אני מאמין באמונו שלימו, שהבוי ראי יתברך שמוי, כדי יעקב מעשי בני אודם וכל מחשבוי סום, שנאמר. היוצר יחד ליבום, היוצר יחד ליבום, המבין המבין אל כל מעשיהם, היוצר יחד ליבום, היוצר יחד ליבום, המבין אל כל מעשיהם, היוצר יחד ליבום, היוצר יחד ליבום, המבין המבין אל כל מעשיהם, היוצר יחד ליבום, היוצר יחד ליבום, המבין אל כל מעשיהם.
Forget for your favorite selections, you can email me, Moshe Picar, at keyplayer@hotmail.com.
That was hot, but I'll tell you something else that's hotter than that. Here he comes. It's time for...
Oh, yeah.
That prince of gastronomic delights. Here he is, Chef Chaim Reisner.
Thanks, Hirsch. Continuing with our Shabbos Malava Malka treats, tonight... we're going to prepare asparagus mushroom crepes with cheese sauce. You'll need 1 cup of grated soft cheese, like mozzarella, 1 cup of grated Swiss cheese, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 cup of finely chopped onion, 1.5 cups of milk, 2 tablespoons of butter, 1/2 cup of flour, 1 large portobello mushroom sliced thin, and 12 fresh asparagus cleaned, par cooked, and cut into 2-inch pieces. To prepare, melt the butter in a saucepan, add the onions, saute until glossy, add the flour, add the salt, stir in the milk, keep stirring until it's creamy. Then add the soft cheese, the mozzarella cheese, the asparagus and the mushrooms. Continue to simmer for 4 more minutes and set aside. Now for the crepe. You'll need 1 cup of flour, 1.5 cups of milk, 1 teaspoon of salt, 3 eggs, 2 tablespoons of butter. Mix all of that in a large bowl. Set aside and let it rest for 1 hour. To prepare, using a 16-inch griddle or a saucepan set on medium heat, add 1/2 a cup of the mixture to the middle of the 16-inch skillet. When the ends curl up, add 1/2 to 1 cup of your mixture, your filling, right in the center of the crepe. Fold the ends of the crepe in, remove and set on a platter, and repeat. Sprinkle with the grated Swiss cheese. Place in a microwave for 2 minutes, and there you have it, Hirsch. A wonderful, wonderful crepe dish. Everyone loves it. And guess what? You made it. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and we'll see you next week.
By the way, if you're over 62 and you own your own home, find out how you can get money from your home without having to ever pay it back as long as you live in that home. Call 412-562-2220. Get tax-free money now by calling 412-562-2220 to participate in a government-sponsored home equity conversion. First Mariner Bank, an equal opportunity lender. I don't have to tell you, utility rates are expected to rise this winter, and it's not too late to save money by reducing your utility bills by installing new energy-saving windows. Call Kramer Windows, your neighborhood window contractor, with many business and residential references in the Jewish community. I've known Ed for many years, and the people that have benefited by his windows rave about the money they save due to the high cost of energy today and the great service Ed provides. Ed Kramer says, do a room or do the whole house. You'll be pleasantly surprised at the impact new energy-saving windows will make on your utility bills. And guess what? He offers free estimates. He says, our low overhead means the best prices anywhere. Call Ed today at 412-848-2262 to schedule a visit. That's 412-848-2262. Do it today before your next utility bill makes you wish you did it today. That's 412-848-2262. Ed Kramer, Kramer Windows.
On the importance of a kind deed, here again is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
When the Rebbe Rashab was a young child, his father, the Rebbe Maharash, woke him one morning and asked him if he had dreamed anything. The boy thought for a minute, then began trembling with fear, and answered that he dreamed that several awesomely holy men had visited him, and that one of them told him a Torah idea and a story. He described them, and his father identified the one who had spoken as Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. The story that he told was as follows. When I was a young man of 20, recently after being accepted as a member of the Society of the Hidden Tzaddikim, several of us came to a certain city. It was there in that city that I saw the most amazing thing. I was standing in the marketplace speaking to a large group of people when I noticed from the corner of my eye an older man walking in the distance, bent under the burden of a large sack he was carrying on his shoulder. His face was covered with sweat, and there was nothing unusual about him, except for the fact that over his head floated a brilliant pillar of spiritual fire. Obviously, none of the other townspeople saw it. A few of them even yelled to him laughingly, "Keep going, Herschel Goat," and he called back with a smile, "Thank you. May Hashem bless you." I could not believe my eyes. I called two of the elder tzaddikim who were with me, Reb Yecheskel and Reb Ephraim. They too saw the pillar, but also couldn't explain it. For all appearances, this Herschel was just a simple old man trying to make a living. What connected him to such a great revelation? For several days I observed him and tried to understand the reason for this holy fire, but I still had no idea. The people told me that he was a widower his wife having died some 10 years ago. He earned his meek living by carrying things on his back and doing odd jobs. And as far as everyone knew, he used all his money to feed a few goats he had because he loved goat milk. That is how he earned the name Herschel Goat. So I decided to fast the first 3 days of each week, only drinking water at night, until I understood what this man did that was so pleasing to Hashem. I had just finished the first 3 days and was leaving the shul when divine providence had it that there was Herschel walking down the street. He had a big smile on his face as I approached him. I told him that I was very weak from having fasted and asked him if he could give me something to eat. Of course," he said joyously. "Please just follow me to my home. I'm so happy to help." We walked for a good while until we came to an old run-down hut near the woods. Nothing seemed unusual until we opened the door and we entered. Suddenly, 4 or 5 goats jumped from all corners of the hut at him. They lovingly licked his hands and literally pranced with joy about him. I had never quite seen the like of it. Herschel quieted the goats and told me to sit down, took out a large metal pail, milked one of them, and poured me a cup to drink. "Nothing's more healthy than goat's milk. Here, have another," he said with satisfaction as he handed me a second cup. When I tried to pay him, he refused. "Chas v'shalom, money? No. No money. It's my pleasure. I'm the one that benefits. What, I shouldn't take money too?" he said with a smile on his face. Then he looked at me seriously and said, "I want to tell you a true story. You have no idea how happy I am that you came here. Please listen. My wife of blessed memory was a truly righteous woman, always helping people. Anytime anyone lacked anything, she was there, doing everything she could to help. She collected money for charity, cared for people when they were sick. Everything she did was for others. Shortly after she passed away, after the 7 days of mourning, she appeared to me in a dream. She told me that after she died, instead of going through any painful experiences, she was received warmly by the souls of all those people she had helped and led directly to one of the highest heavens. She told me that nothing is valued in heaven more than brotherly love, and beseeched me to also begin a life of charity and good deeds. That is why I bought these goats. I give free milk to whoever needs it, and it has done wonders for people, simply wonders, and I am so happy I can help. Since then, my wife never appeared to me again. It's been 10 years since then. But today, just before I woke up, she came. She told me that this morning I would meet a holy man and he would change my life. And I'm sure she was talking about you. Please stay with me for a few days and teach me Torah. I stayed with Herschel for several days and watched the way he lovingly cared for his goats. I also saw how he dispensed their milk to dozens of people that needed it. Everything done with a simple joy and with no egotism whatsoever. But on the other hand, he was a complete ignoramus and could barely read. I discussed it with the tzaddikim and we decided to take him under our wing and teach him Torah. For 3 years we taught him the most basic books. And then one day his mind simply opened. He suddenly understood and remembered everything we taught him. Even the most difficult concepts in Talmud and in Kabbalah. But he never lost his simplicity. After 5 more years, he became a great hidden tzaddik and mystic in his own right. Moved to a different city. And for the next 10 years helped and even saved hundreds of people with his prayers and blessings. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
we wrap up another exciting Jewish Experience radio program for this week. A couple of events to remind you about. The new mayor, a big friend of the Pittsburgh Jewish community, Bob O'Connor, will be honored at the Yeshiva Dinner January 24th at the Hilton Hotel. For reservations, call 412-422-7300. Mikey Butler Foundation, free lecture, Tuesday, January 31st. Ethical Challenges of Organ Transplantation. Worldwide Rap and Ben Yehuda Street Fair, Beth Shalom Synagogue, February 5th. And you can learn to put on tefillin. It's also food, fun, and Israeli dancing. Judaic Library at Lubavitch Center is open to the public on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Motzei Shabbos. You can call them for more information. The Mystic's Guide to the Bible Course, 8 p.m. at the Agency for Jewish Learning. Call the Kolo for more information on that. Don't forget the Father and Son Learning Program at the Pittsburgh Kolo right after Shabbos, pizza and prizes. And the Meeting of Food Addicts in Recovery meets at the Aleph Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30. Don't forget, it's a recovery group, 412-422-2224. And the Yeshiva Girls School production of Sholem Song, March 6th and 7th. Doors open at 7. For ticket information, 412-422-7301, extension 1311. If you'd like to have your mother's loves on our program, call us 979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 5.06 p.m. So as the Shabbos approaches, I want to be sure to thank our faithful and redeeming staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Schulman, Chef Chaim Reisner, and Ms. Deborah DeLin, and our engineer Jeremy Bossy for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time is no later than 5.06 p.m. Until next week, I'm Hirsch DeLin. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat.
Shabbat. Shalom. Shabbat, shalom, shabbat.